God's going to say, I'm not going to answer your prayers anymore. Because you pray, then you grumble. Oh, God, give me a husband. Now, who's this man? Get out of here. Ooh, yeah. The door swings both ways. And God is saying, whoa, I thought you just prayed for a husband, and now he's out of here, huh? From now on, when you pray, God's saying, I'm not going to answer, because every time I answer, you grumble. So we learn patience. We learn kindness. Nothing wrong with that.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message entitled, A Season of Harvest. We found that to bring in the harvest might require you to get down and get a little dirt under your fingernails. So is all the backbreaking work really worth the effort? Well, try listening to Pastor Wayne and then you decide for yourself. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, A Season of Harvest.
The Bible says that Jesus was a friend of sinners and publicans and prostitutes. Do you think in order for Jesus to be seen by them as a friend that he compromised even one iota of his heart and soul and his faith? No. It can be done. Without you compromising, you can still be friends to those that are caught in the darkness. And we've got to be there. Otherwise, when they're looking for their way home, but we've separated ourselves, there'll be no one to help them find their way back. So what happens is here's the harvesters, here's the harvest. The Lord is saying, you got to get into the harvest field because how's it going to be reaped? You see, you got to remember this. The harvest will not self-reap, but it will self-destruct if not reaped. So watch this. We have got to get harvesters into the harvest. Now you see that overlap? When there are laborers into the harvest, that's how big the harvest field is. Because the harvest is only harvestable if there are laborers in it. If there's no laborers, the harvest is here, but it's not harvestable because there's no harvesters in it. Now, if we just overlap just a little bit, then that's the size of the harvest field. But if we say, let's just go for it. No, we're not going to become like them. We're just going to help them. And we're going to harvest. So all of a sudden, there's a growing harvest. And there's the harvest field. And that's why we as New Hope, we are into all kinds of stuff. We have hiking ministries. We have soccer clubs that play in the City League. And right now, we have a canoe team racing out in the ocean with a whole bunch of other canoes, and ours has New Hope on it. So we have all of these things going on where we're out into the harvest field because the harvest field is harvestable only where there are laborers in it. So that's why you're going to see a lot of outreaches here. In your bulletin today, you have a little sheet of paper that tells you all of the things coming up over the next few weeks in under the heading called Spirit of Aloha. And we're going to reach out. One of them, for example, is the Angel Tree Project. We have a lot of families whose fathers are incarcerated or mothers are in prison. Christmas is coming up. Well, the parents can't really buy Christmas presents for the kids if they're in prison. So what we do is we buy a gift and put their dad's name on it for them. And in that dad's name, as it were, we're able to give that child a gift at Christmas. So we have all of these families of the incarcerated people come to our ministry center. We hand out gifts in the name of their dads or moms, and then we share with them the true meaning of Christmas. You see, when you overlap like that in creative ways, now the harvest begins. In fact, would you write there in your notes, number two, we determine the size of the harvest field for our generation. If we don't want to be involved at all, we want to stay away from the people of the harvest or the world, then there's no harvest field. You're going to determine the size of the harvest field, how big it is, because it'll be determined by how many harvesters are in the field. If it's just a few, not much of a harvest field. But if you overlap it, the harvest field continues to grow. We determine. Let's read what he says in Luke 10. Go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers where? Would you underline into his harvest? He wants to send laborers where? So would you write the next bullet? The harvest is harvestable where laborers are present. That's where it's harvestable. If there's no laborers there, it's not harvestable. Which means we've got to figure out ways to help those in our community through outreach. That's the only way they're going to determine whether our faith is real or not, or whether or not we're just a bunch of religious kooks that coop ourselves up on Sundays, do weird stuff, and go home and are the same as any other neighbor, except weirder. So we've got to get into the harvest field. And then the Lord says, now it'll start to happen. Now it'll start. You know, sometimes we say, well, this is our church. You know, we don't want too many people come here because then you'll take up my parking space and you'll breathe the air and it makes the air conditioning more warm in this place. So don't breathe. Stop breathing. In fact, if I just had a few people here, it'd be better. I'd have to fight for seats. But you know, the thing is, you have to remember, sometimes we grumble and complain, but it's actually God who's doing it. So we're complaining against God. How come we come in here? I can't even sit down. We have to go on the overflow. We have to do this or do that. Oh, I hate this. I hate this. And the Lord said, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm just answering your prayer. What do you mean? I'm not praying for you. I'm praying for these people. Out. Get out. No. I'm answering your prayer. Do you remember when you prayed, Lord, I've got a cousin that needs you so bad, an auntie that needs you, a dad that needs you, my brother that needs you, and now I bring them, and now you're grumbling because they're sitting in your seat. Can't stand this place. Look at this parking. Can't even get a parking space in this place. Let's park up. Would you rather go to a church where there's like nothing in the parking lot except your car? Will that be better? You see, although it's going to require us a little bit more time to get out or to get in, all the while you're waiting, we should be saying, thank you, God, because you've answered our prayers. Otherwise, if every time we pray, Lord, bring somebody, and then we grumble, bring somebody else, and we grumble because they've taken up a parking space, God's going to say, I'm not going to answer your prayers anymore. Because you pray, then you grumble, oh, God, give me a husband. Now, who's this man? Get out of here. Who he? The door swings both ways. And God is saying, whoa, I thought you just prayed for a husband, and now he's out of here, huh? It's only 2 years, 3 years difference here. And from now on, when you pray, God's saying, I'm not going to answer because every time I answer, you grumble. So we should thank God that the seats are full and that the parking lot is crowded. So it's going to require a little bit more character exercise on our part. Ooh. So we learn patience. We learn kindness. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we start to get a little territorial. Do you know what God is saying? In these last days, it ain't about you. It ain't about you. It's about the harvest. Because you're at mile marker 24, and you're in the race, and you'll be fine. Now, there's a whole bunch of people trying to find their way home. It ain't about you. You see, when we go into the harvest, there's problems there in the harvest. And if we're not there, there'll still be problems. But they will go unresolved, and the people in these problems will perish or they'll be bitter. But if we are there, then we can help answer and resolve and point them to the one who restores and gives hope again. Case in point happened just a couple of weeks ago, as I shared. We are in the canoe season and we do races, etc. And we're among all of those many, many people who don't know the Lord, don't want to know the Lord. But when we're out there just overlapping, God opens doors. We just have to be there. A couple weeks ago, the women were having a race, and as they came around by Makapu, it was very treacherous there. One of the boats went in too far from another canoe club, and it capsized, and the waves bashed up against the rocks, took the canoe under the rocks, and these ladies were screaming for help in this treacherous surf. Their escort boat was too far out to go in and get them. So our escort boat saw what was going on, zipped back around, went in to where the treacherous waves were. Our coaches dove into the water, brought them onto our boat. One lady was injured, put some ice on her, made sure she was all right. Another couple guys from our church actually went out to save the canoe. got that going again. And just last week, one of the ladies from this other canoe club came and gave us this letter of thanks. And I want you just to see, because we were there, a door for ministry and harvest open. Listen to this really cool letter. It's addressed like this: to all our heroes at New Hope. Thank you so much for reaching out and rescuing us Sunday at the race. We know that this jeopardized your crew, but we truly believe that your efforts saved our lives. You shared your drinks with us and your food and ice for one of our injured paddlers. But most importantly, you shared your love. You will always stay in our hearts, and we hope to learn from your example of selflessness, kindness, and love for other people. With our deepest thanks, the name of that canoe club. Now, isn't that great? Thank God for our ladies and our coaches. Because see, sometimes we think, well, it's just about us. But the Lord is saying, no, the End Days Church, it ain't about you. Yeah, but we don't want people taking up our parking space. No. I think one of the most poignant scenes in a recent film, or somewhat recent film, in the film Titanic, was when the Titanic sank and there were lifeboats out there, still room in the lifeboats, but some refused to go and help the injured because we're comfortable in our lifeboat. And 1,000 people died in the frigid Atlantic waters. When I saw that, a shiver went up my spine, and I thought, I remember praying this in the theater, Lord, may I never be a part of a church that feels that way to those that need your help. But there's going to be those that will say, no, we're fine. But it ain't about us. Maybe the reason God saved us is so that we can reach to those who are about to perish. So we have an assignment on our hearts. And the assignment isn't just to get comfortable. It's to open up a rescue mission. And that's what New Hope is all about, so that we have new hope to give. But the only way we can give it is we've got to be in close enough proximity where they can take it. And that's why the Lord says, in the last days, you got to pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, because the potential is great. But until there's laborers in the harvest, it's not harvestable. And so you're going to find many outreaches. And remember, this church will only reach out as much as we're involved in the outreaches. We will clean up our community only as much as we get involved in moments when we are out there cleaning up the community. Because you are the church. We don't have a building. You are the church. You know, the Lord says, I'll be with you always, even to the ends of the age. In other words, even in the darkest edges, I am saying, come, because I'm there. I'm saying, follow me. And as we do, we're actually cooperating with what he's already wanting to do. Not to separate ourselves from, but to give ourselves to. I was talking with an astronomer once, someone who studies stars and was in, because of a lot of observatories on Mauna Kea when we were living in Hilo. I said, you know, tell me about the black hole in space where it's just like pitch dark. I said, how do you see? Because I heard that the darkness is so thick. He said, oh, you know, there's light out there. I said, no, that's why they call it dark. So there's like the absence of light. He says, no, there's light. I said, no, like darkness means absence of light. That's why, you know, like lights out, you know, dark. He says, no, there's light. I said, no. He said, oh yeah. I said, well, how come you don't see it? He says, well, you see, there's a ray of light out there. Just like you see in the night sky, you see the moon, and you see maybe burnt out stars. Some of them might still be burning, but a lot of them are burnt out stars, but you see the sun's reflection off the moon. Now, what if you remove the moon and all of these burnt out surfaces and satellites, etc.? What would this night sky look like? It would be very what? Dark. Now, there's light still there, but you see, when there's a ray of light shining, the only way you'll be able to see the presence of light is when you put a reflective surface in the beam. And as soon as you do, you say, oh, there's light. Oh, no light, dark. Oh, yeah, there's light there. No, it's dark. No, light's still there. You just need more reflective surfaces so that you'll see the presence of light. Now, the Bible says before we knew the Lord, it was like a veil was over our eyes. We didn't understand our purpose as a last days church. But God is saying, I'm going to remove the veil. And you know what I want you to be? I want you just to be reflective surfaces. I want you to reflect my light because I'm there. I just need reflective surfaces. And the more reflective surfaces there are, the more people realize the presence of God is wonderfully there. And they'll be able to plot or find their way back home. In fact, let's read the scripture right at the end of our notes and you'll see what it says. Go. And all of us have had that veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. Isn't that great? Let me finish with a story about someone who saw the beginning of a harvest field. His name was Keith Miller. He writes a book that he had been out of work for quite a while. Finally found a job in town in the urban center, which required him to drive his car to the subway station, catch a train or a subway into the city where he would work, and then transit back, get in his car, and go home. Well, he and his wife would pray each morning. Because as I often say, that when we leave these doors, you're going to be the only Bible that some people will ever read. And you'll be the only Jesus that they'll ever see. We represent Him as ambassadors, reflectors. Well, he would pray with his wife. And he'd pray this, Lord, help me to be Jesus to somebody today. Amen. Well, then he'd get into his car, go to the subway station, ride into town and back. And this went on for a day or two or three, and then a week or two. Well, one day he was late and his wife handed him his lunch pail and as he's running out the door, she said, we didn't pray. Oh yeah, he said, Lord, help me to be Jesus to somebody today, amen. Jumped in his car down to the subway station. When he got to the subway station, he realized that he was tardy because people were already piling off of the subway that he was supposed to be on. And knowing that he's still under probation with this new job, if he'd missed that subway, he might be in jeopardy and may lose his job. So quickly, he's running down the subway stairs, and as he turned the corner, bang, he runs smack into this little kid about 8 years old, must have been first, second grade or so, and he knew that he was going to school because pencils flew one way, papers flew the other, and this little guy's lunch splattered everywhere as people trampled on it because they were going against the flow with Keith going towards the subway. I'm sorry, he said, but I'm really late, and he zipped off. He said, when my foot hit the first rung of that subway to get on to the subway, I remembered the prayer that I had prayed. And I could either continue to get on that subway and go to work and leave that boy, or get off the subway and go back and help him. Because I think that's what Jesus would do. So he decided to back off from the subway, take his chances with his job, explain the best he could to his boss, but go help that little boy. He said, by the time I found that little boy, his face was stained with tears. Papers were everywhere. He was trying to collect his pencils. So he said, I bent down and collected his papers for him, straightened them out, collected all of his pencils that were strewn on the cement floor. And then he said, because his lunch had been destroyed, I took the same paper bag that once held his lunch, and I transferred my lunch from my pail into his bag. I wiped his face, gave him a big, long hug, and I said to him, don't ever forget, my Father loves you very much. God loves you. And he says, I turned around to leave, 4 or 5 steps away when I heard this little boy's voice. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Keith said, I turned around, and this little boy looked up at me, and he said, could you tell me, are you Jesus? And you know, Keith said, for a moment, I think I was, to him anyway. And the harvest field had just begun. And that's the heart of this church. that as God inspires our faith here, the most important part of the service now is about to begin. And let's answer one of Jesus' prayers. You know, he's answered a lot of ours. But he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest, especially a 24-mile marker church. And I think it's time we answered one of his prayers. What do you think? Amen? Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's stand. Let's stand as we close. Don't forget, outside is a ministry fair, and you can go through and see different things that are available. And that sheet of paper, you could, if you want to know more about something, check it off, put your name on it, hand it to any of the people out there, and they'll email you or help you to find out what's going on. But just when you hear these things, like adopt a school program or an angel tree project, you'll know, we're increasing the harvest field because we're getting laborers into the harvest. That's a character quality of a last days church. Would you reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you? Lord, the most important part of the service is about to begin, where we take what we learn and apply it in our families, our relationship with our mom, our dad, our son or daughter, our neighbor, a co-worker that we had a run-in with last week. We're going to apply the things that we've learned to represent you well. Because even when it seems really dark, I know your presence is there. You're just looking for reflective surfaces or ambassadors to represent you well. You call us disciples, followers of Christ, who reflect your glory. Well, Lord, we want to do that. So would you teach us how to do that? Help us to do it well as we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank the Lord with a clap offering?
Come fill our homes with your presence, 'cause you alone are worthy of our reverence. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. To live holy, bowing our knees to you only. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house,
we will serve
the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve. Staying together and praying together.
God bless you. Have a great day. Give someone a hug on your way out.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled A Season of Harvest by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening.
We encourage you to support this radio ministry as we continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You can give online at enewhope.org. Just click on the Giving tab and designate your gift for radio and TV. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the Giving tab.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.